Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome back. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Currently, sun is starting to break through. It was mostly cloudy for much of the morning up to this point, but now seeing some sunshine as I take a peek to my right out onto Washington Street. Here in downtown Wausau, of course, our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in Wausau. Temperature stands at 31 degrees. It is the Tuesday edition of the program. Coming up in just a little bit, tonight is the start of the high school girls basketball playoffs. And of course, we are very proud to be the only Wausau radio station that still brings play-by-play of area high school sports. And we're going to talk about the high school girls basketball postseason, talk about the brackets and more with the lead girls basketball writer of WISSports.net, Norbert Durst. Norbert had a chance to talk to me and my big high school sports show co-host Jeff Gress, and going to get the information from Norbert Durst when it comes to girls basketball playoffs. That's coming up in just a few minutes. In fact, tonight we have a high school sports twin bill here on Bow Falls Radio. I'll be at the Marathon Park Ice Arena for a girls hockey sectional semifinal. The Central Wisconsin Storm, ranked number 3 in the state, they're a number 2 seed in sectional number 1. They'll take on the 4th ranked team, the Hayward Hurricanes. Hayward is the number 3 seed. And it's a rematch of a sectional semifinal from a year ago when Hayward upset the Storm and eliminated the defending state champs. But tonight, Storm look for the first of two wins this week in order to earn a spot in next weekend's state tournament. Live coverage, Storm and Hayward, 6:50 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening faceoff, right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Also tonight, another doubleheader. It's a big doubleheader week. I'm keeping Tom Weaver busy as well. Last night, Tom was on hand for the Marathon boys basketball game at Edgar, a game that Marathon won 71-44, and it clinched outright the Marrowood Conference South Division Championship for Marathon for a third straight year. And also, Tom got a very interesting stat as well. Marathon boys basketball has now won 30 conference championships. That's an amazing number. 30 conference championships for the Marathon Red Raider boys basketball program. 3 in a row after beating Edgar 71-44 last night, combined with Auburndale losing to Stratford 51-44. But tonight, Tom back at the Marathon High School gym as the Marathon girls basketball team will start their playoff run, a Division IV regional quarterfinal, as the Red Raiders play host to Ladysmith. That game can be heard live on the Sports 2 stream of BowFallsRadio.com and the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:45 and the opening tip-off at 7 o'clock. That game can also be heard on a tape delay basis following our coverage of the Storm hockey game tonight on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. So, again, we'll talk some high school girls basketball with Norbert Durst, and make sure you tune in tonight with me, with the Storm hockey, or Tom, with the Marathon girls basketball team. A very exciting time of year. Really good stuff. Sectional hockey, girls basketball playoffs begin next week. The boys basketball playoffs begin as well. But before we go any further, I'm going to talk to our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good to see you again. Good morning.
Good morning, John. Good to see you too.
Absolutely. Sun is starting to peek through the clouds. It is a primary election day. So that
yes,
means
it is.
Folks need to remember to go out and vote. Again, depending on what area you're in, may not be a lot on the ballot, but I'm somebody that likes to keep as close to a perfect voting record as possible, even if there's not a lot in terms of a spring primary.
Yeah.
But here in the city of Wausau, very interesting. As I said in the last program, I should say, when I was substituting for Pat on Up North News, it's sort of a mini version of Survivor because you got three candidates for Wausau mayor. We're going to eliminate one tonight. And then the two highest vote getters tonight will move on and be part of the general election on April the 2nd. I was talking to the producer of Up North News, Greg Bach, about my thought that maybe we have too many elections where we could actually move them together, where instead of having a separate off-year election or a separate spring election, a fall election, to try to move these where we have more of the races on one ballot. So you have an opportunity to have more voter turnout.
Yeah.
Because I think we've seen the numbers where you have spring elections that have lower turnout than fall elections. And that can be a problem for one of the parties or an advantage for another party. But I think at times we have too many of these elections where sometimes I think we could put them together all on the same ballot, have a presidential election, have a mayoral election, have a city council election, have them all on the same ballot. But again, I mean, it's just a thought, but I do sometimes worry about some of these spring elections where we have fewer, lower turnout than maybe a fall election.
Yeah. It would be easier to keep a track of if we did have all of them together instead of just spreading them out.
That said, as we do look at the Wausau mayoral race that is coming up here, as again, it is the primary, we got three candidates on the ballot. You got the incumbent mayor, Katie Rosenberg, looking for a second term in office. You have one of the challengers from the Wausau City Council, Doug Denny. And then you have the other challenger, and Christopher Wood. And to be honest with you, Ian, tonight, one of the things I'm going to be watching most closely is the Christopher Wood totals, because he is somebody that, in my opinion, again, this is my opinion, is not qualified, number one, for the position, and number two, should be disqualified based on some of the anti-Semitic statements he has made in public here in Wausau over the last year or so. But I'm very curious to see what kind of vote total he gets in this primary, to see the level of support that somebody that has, I would call, disgusting views would get from our community. We have no polling numbers or anything like that, but I would be shocked if it's a large number. I do think that while there are people that have views that I may disagree with, I think that the views that are put out by Mr. Wood are beyond the pale. And I hope that he gets a very low amount of votes here tonight. In my opinion, again, I want to
be surprised if he gets any votes.
This is not a journalistic statement I'm making here.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he gets like any votes. I mean,
well, of course, anybody and everybody gets some votes. I think there's people out there.
Even just a little bit of the votes for him kind of says something troubling about the people who vote for him. It's like, so you actually agree with the stuff he's saying? Like, you're okay that he's saying all this bad stuff about certain groups of people? I mean, is that how you talk to people? Is that why you voted for him?
Ian, I'm going to make a statement here that kind of going to blow your mind maybe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You say that, you know, that what you say makes an incredible amount of sense.
Mm.
But then I will say to you, a guy that has said terrible things about in different ways received more than 70 million votes in the last presidential election.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, what you say is so much, it's very much common sense. It's very much common sense. But we had a guy that said, you know, basically anybody from south of the border are criminals and rapists, and people said they're nodding their heads. It's like, what? What? So again,
yeah.
I hope that the folks here in the city of Wausau say no to the candidacy of Christopher Wood tonight. That's my hope. And then we can turn our attention to the two candidates that are the serious candidates in this race, Mayor Rosenberg and Councilman Denny, and hopefully be able to set up times to get them back on in the run up to the general election coming up on April the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not a lot of contested races here in this primary. Again, that's again, I think sometimes there's a waste factor as well.
Yeah.
Where you have to, it does cost money still to put on these elections, even when there's very little on the ballot. So sometimes I do wonder if we can't do it in a better way to make sure that we get as many people involved in our voting process, but also in a way that works for everybody.
Because every vote matters.
It certainly does. And again, when we talk about high turnout elections, they're really not as high as they should be. We should be upward of almost everybody voting. And I hope that we can get to that point at some point in my life before I take the left turn out of this coil. But again, 2024 is going to be a very interesting year. And I think we're going to start to really feel the heat turned up in the run-up to the April 2nd election, especially with a significant mayoral race here in Wausau and other races throughout the state. And then, of course, as we get to the Wisconsin primary that we'll be hearing about as well, with the Republicans still having a battle at a certain level. And, of course, the conventions coming up this summer, including the Republicans in Milwaukee and the Democrats not that far away in Chicago. And, of course, then the fall elections as well. Lots on the plate in what should be a very exciting 2024.
Indeed. Indeed.
The time is 9:18. We're going to come back and talk to Norbert. Norbert from Wisports.net. He'll be coming up here on Polk Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. On Polk Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, polkfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXEO. And on the Civic Media app, 9:20 is the time on this Tuesday morning. And again, I've said this before, these weeks during the winter sports playoff season are some of my favorite of the year. So much excitement, and I would encourage any of you that have not been able to feel that excitement to get out and see whether it's a basketball or hockey playoff. And tonight is the start of the girls' high school basketball playoffs throughout the state of Wisconsin. We'll be keeping an eye on our local teams. And myself and my big high school sports show co-host Jeff Gress had a chance to talk to a Wisports.net girls basketball writer Norbert Durston. Norbert, able to give us a lot of great information about the girls basketball brackets and playoffs.
Of course. Thanks for having me on again.
I guess the first thing I'm going to ask you about, we're going to talk a little bit about generally girls basketball, and especially I think here in Central Wisconsin, the brackets and everything else. I think in the one thing I've noticed in the last couple of years since we've gone to the computerized seating, there are certain people out there that are just looking for excuses to get upset about something. Because if you look at, you know, all the brackets, you're going to find one or two things that no matter what system you do that you're going to complain about. I wanted to ask you, because you look at this so very closely, in terms of generally, for the most part, do you think that the computers got it right this year?
Yeah, I think for the most part they did. You know, obviously there's a couple of those that are larger maybe like concerns as far as, you know, those, the seating goes now with the computer. But, you know, for the most part, you know, it's about what it's going to be. You know, they don't look head-to-head, so there's certain things, you know, that coaches, when they come together, they're going to look at things. And, you know, a few 1-2s that, coaches might have flipped. But, you know, for the most part, I think it's better to keep the coaches away from each other, fighting for not just their seed, but maybe the seed they're trying to manipulate a little bit for another team so they can get a better matchup down the road. And, you know, I think that's the part that we just don't want to have when it comes to those seed meetings.
And, Norbert, what do you think – if I'm a coach and I'm going to schedule stuff and figure out how to put my team in the best spot for the next season, what do you think is the major factor that they should do in their scheduling of their season to try to have the best results off what the computer inputs and puts in? What's the major category, in your opinion, that would be the biggest deal?
Well, I mean, the computer, you can look at a lot of ways, but the computer looks like it likes teams that, you know, obviously you play good teams, that's number one. But if you play down, you know, that is a way to get a higher seed. I think we've seen that in several of those situations, most notably in Division One with Oregon and Verona both being undefeated. Arrowhead's in that mix there too. They just have just one loss to a Wisconsin team. But, you know, Oregon playing in a very strong Badger Large definitely helped. But, you know, that's playing against mostly Division II teams. Now, you can argue a lot of those teams are Division One quality, but then in some of their non-conference games, they played good smaller school teams, and I think that definitely helped catapult them not just above Verona, but above Arrowhead as well. So I think the answer there is, yeah, you play good teams. Now, I always say you play good teams if you want to win in the tournament, but, you know, you play good teams in smaller divisions or weaker conferences, and that's a way to get a higher seed.
Do you think coaches have figured this out? Do you think that after now, after a little bit of experience, that in terms of setting up the schedule, in terms of maybe knowing a trick or two that can help you in the end, at where you can almost you know, manipulate a little bit in terms of ultimately where you get, if you know what kind of team you have, obviously, and you're looking for that top seed?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because I don't feel like any of that information I said before is any groundbreaking information, because I think the coaches have seen that the past couple years. You know, the WIA just says, you know, play good teams, and that's going to reward you. But, you know, I do think not just good teams, but it would be nice if there's a way to add some sort of a power ranking, you know, whether it's a conference or overall, because, you know, some of those conferences aren't as strong as others. So you play a good team from even a larger conference, but, you know, they're just not as strong as another league, so you're going to get a little bit more benefit playing that team. And, you know, I think if you have a little bit more of a strength of schedule added somehow, not just, you know, beating teams, that might flip some of those, like maybe Edgewood in Division III, where they got the 2 seed behind Edgerton, and they had two more losses, but they played a much more difficult schedule. So I think we got to try to find a way to reward the coaches that not just play in a good league, but also are going out and playing non-conference games. And like for the instance with Verona, like they play in the Big Eight, where you play 18 conference games, and the conference was not that strong this year. And they played the best of the best in the non-conference and still weren't rewarded. And I think that is definitely the frustrating part for coaches.
And Norbert, how about jumping up here in Central Wisconsin? A team or two that you are looking forward to watching, you think, you know, because I know we've talked before and mentioned that, you know, especially up in the D1 bracket, it's tough to get a couple of wins up here when they start playing against Fox Valley teams or some of the stronger teams over in the Eau Claire area. Any team you're looking that you've noticed up here that you think, yeah, maybe they can do a little damage if they play a certain way or do a certain style just because you have a good feeling about them or like what you've seen of them out of recent play?
Yeah, like just out of the, if you're talking Division One here, you know, it's a little bit farther away, but, you know, it's Hudson is playing good basketball. I know, you know, not quite your neck of the woods, but Marshfield, I think we could point to them. They're playing pretty good. You know, they do, when they did play the Big Rivers, they did have some problems at times, but, you know, I think those teams are still good enough to make a little bit of noise in the postseason. Obviously, if you talk about Division Two, you know, if Notre Dame wasn't in that sectional one, we could talk about Lakeland having a chance to make a nice run because they went out and played, I thought, some good non-conference games to help them out. But, you know, unfortunately, the GNC isn't really all that strong, definitely top to bottom anyway. But, you know, some of those teams definitely have the ability. And guess what? You know, when you're the underdog, that does help you out a little bit too, because we haven't really talked a lot about Eau Claire Memorial and Hudson as being teams that can – can legit beat Hortonville and Neenah, but, you know, when it comes down to it, teams still got to make shots and play good defense to win games. And last year, I believe, some of those games weren't quite as lopsided as expected.
Again, we're talking to Norbert Durst from WithSports.net, head girls basketball writer for the website. One team in D1 that I think actually from this area that could make a bit of a run as they've got better. They started off slowly under a new head coach, but have played really well. And in fact, last night had a really impressive road win. That's Stevens Point. Stevens Point's number 5 seeded in the D1 bracket. They went to number 4 seeded Eau Claire Memorial last night for a non-conference game and won by 10 points. I think this Stevens Point team has taken some steps forward. And also, I was wondering if you've heard any rumbles about this freshman for Stevens Point, Jada Seibert. I've heard that already some D1 colleges are looking at her, and she's a really impressive-looking player. I saw her go up against Wausau West, and I thought she carried herself exceptionally well. And Janelle McCarville, obviously a Stevens Point legend, now coaching the Panthers. I think that's maybe a team that could break up the party from the West and the East and maybe actually make a bit of a run. Do you see that at all?
You know, they certainly have a chance, and you know, the good thing there is they do have a first matchup that is suitable. I think, you know, if they play maybe, you know, had to run into against one of those FBA teams, that first game might have been a little bit more difficult, but you get that first game out of the way, and, you know, they certainly could, you know, they've showed it, you know, they could beat Eau Claire Memorial already. And while I wasn't sure if you know, the league was going to be strong enough to compete against even the Big Rivers top, you know, they have shown the ability. And, you know, while, you know, at times scoring maybe is an issue at times against some of those better teams, you know, they've been playing very good basketball, and I have seen very good improvement. And they definitely are one of those other teams. You know, they did split with Marshfield. They got them the first time around. And
Chad Holmes joined former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself each Wednesday from 6 until 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. We do nothing but talk high school sports for 2 hours every Wednesday night, plus special guests. Each Wednesday, we'll be joined by one of our area high school head coaches, plus a student-athlete guest as well. In addition, Jeff and I will break down what's going on in boys and girls high school basketball and boys and girls hockey in central Wisconsin. It's the Big High School Sports Show every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Plus, if you missed the show, just go to bullfallsradio.com/sports or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm pointing at Ian. I don't have to point at Ian because I just can turn up my microphone at the same time. I used to tell him to put me up, but Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Apologize. We cut off that first segment. We hit that hard break with Norbert Durst with Sports.net girls basketball head writer. Again, myself and my Big High School Sports Show co-host Jeff Gress talking to Norbert Durst about the start of the girls basketball playoffs tonight, and continuing our conversation with Norbert Durst.
I got a chance to talk to Coach Melissa Womet of Lakeland when they came to Wausau a couple of weeks ago. She is not very happy about the whole Notre Dame situation, to say the least. Right. How good is Notre Dame? I mean, you see two of the Miss Wisconsin basketball finalists from that one school. How good are they? And based on what you know with Christina Womet and a couple of other really bigs for Lakeland, is there any chinks in the armor, I guess, for Notre Dame Academy for anybody in that bracket?
Well, I wouldn't say in the bracket. I think, you know, it's really Division II, and I think it's been this way the whole year. I think there's still, even though we do have a couple undefeated teams in Division I, Notre Dame and Pewaukee, in my opinion, the best two teams in the state. So it would have been nice to maybe see Verona play one of those teams, or maybe Oregon, but to see kind of gauge those teams a little bit more. But, I, you know, top to bottom, those teams are so deep. They play such good defense. They both move the ball very well. Notre Dame, you know, four players that can score in double figures on a regular basis. I think they have, maybe they average even four in double figures. You know, they're going to bring the pressure. And that's the one thing, you know, if you can somehow find a way to get them in foul trouble, I guess that's one way to, to level them off a little bit. But, you know, that's a really good team, and they're still hungry despite, you know, winning the last three state titles. They're going to try to be the first girls basketball team in state history to win four straight. You know, and Coach Sarah Rohde, she's already got five state titles. If she gets her sixth, that would tie Jim Myers for second all time. And Jeff Pustina has the record there with nine. So, I mean, it's pretty historic what they've been doing, obviously. It appears to be a very good finish between them and Pewaukee. I just think they're head and shoulders above not just the Division II field, but many of the Division I teams as well. And as Notre Dame last night defeated Hortonville, I think, by three or four points it was. And, you know, they showed their dominance in that game as well.
And Norbert, how about just again looking in our area a little bit? Wittenberg, they have the number one seed in their region. They finished second. The only real mark they, you know, against them is they, you know, they play Bondiwell. Bondiwell's solid for that conference, and they're just far enough out of our area where we kind of get a taste of them. But you know, 21-2 overall, 11-2, one girl's averaging 19, another I think is averaging 21. So they have some balance and a pretty good attack there. Do you think they have a chance to go anywhere, I guess, or is it going to be tough road with what you know about? I believe they're in Division III, right? So what do you know about Division III?
Yeah, Division III, the good thing for them is their sectional isn't as strong as it's been in the past. So that definitely helps them out. You know, obviously playing a lot of Division IV teams isn't going to necessarily get a lot of eye-popping picks as far as, you know, people that kind of look at these brackets a little bit more. But, you know, I think they can definitely come out of the left side or the one side of that. Freedom at times hasn't looked like Freedom of the past. So, you know, in those games, maybe you can kind of just ride on that. Those two horses that they got at the top and maybe sneak out a win against Freedom. And on the other side of that, you know, I think Xavier is the favorite there. And I think the favorite to get to state, but you know, teams that win games usually know how to win games when they're a little closer. And those two games against Bondiwell, who I think now have won 20 straight games, I believe it is. You know, those do matter. And, you know, just a little bit more of the openness of that sectional certain helps in Division III.
And then obviously, you know, we cover the Marywood and we hit on those teams, and you got, you know, Assumption has had an outstanding season. They know what it's like to win those state titles and get down there. And you got Phillips, who I watched play live a couple times when they played over here at Newman, and those girls on that team, I thought they really ran the floor. Got up and down and again had some prolific scores on that team. I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you, where they're going to run into each other, but for division,
they're not actually. Phillips is D4, and Assumption's D5.
My bad. Thank you, Chet. I'm just looking at the Maryland. Okay, let's go to Phillips. My bad. I'm jumping all over. With Phillips, then, do you think, you know, because obviously, you know, you look across the state and you look across the tendencies, it's tough to come down from the north and be one of those final teams. You have to have, a lot of times it seems you have to have that special moment, that special team, that special group of kids. Do you see Phillips making any noise in terms of what they might run up against in the D4 bracket?
You know, I think they could. I don't know if they have quite enough depth to compete against McDonald Central, which they would have in a sectional semi. But, you know, they got two very good players at the top, and usually when you got that, you have a chance. But I'm just not sure against, like, a McDonald Central team. Again, you know, they returned the bulk of their roster from last year's team. Also have a freshman that's been playing very well for them. So, you know, the path to sectional play is pretty good for them. But, you know, that contest against a potential matchup against McDonald Central, who won Division V last year, would be very difficult to get past.
What about Assumption? Because the last two nights, they lost by, I think, 33 points on Monday to Aquinas, and then they came home and lost to Pacelli by more than 20 last night. They had not lost all season long. What do you make of that? Because obviously at this point of the season, after so much success, not only to lose a couple of games, and obviously against very good teams, that's going to, I think, as much as anything, maybe be a little bit of a mental thing now, because they kind of took it on the chin back-to-back nights.
Yeah, and they haven't had one of their starters for the last probably five games. Sarah Shaw, their lead defender, who has, I think, about six steals a game, she's been out, and it sounds like she's going to be back for the tournament, and that's going to make a big difference there. But I think even with that, you got to be a little bit shooken up a bit if your Assumption, because, you know, while, yeah, Aquinas is a very good team, and if, even with some players, you can kind of get into a race where they just kind of blow you out sometimes. But, you know, Bocelli, while, yeah, they've won, I think, 20 games themselves, like, I don't, you know, usually you say the CWC isn't quite, especially the South, isn't as strong as other leagues. And maybe we're saying that this year the CWC is a little bit stronger than expected. And, you know, it probably doesn't help that the rest of the Marawood wasn't that strong. And concerning, too, that they really didn't play anybody else non-conference besides, you know, some of those teams just recently. So I think maybe it's something that they would have seen a little bit quicker with the team. But and not to mention that sectional in Division Five is the strongest in the sectional. So you can't have one of those games that you even with, you know, those stars. These teams are much better than Pacelli, in my opinion, at the top. So it's going to be difficult.
And Norbert, you see for our listeners that don't know, you're all in on this, and you're diving in and you're analyzing this statistical wise, or what you're observing, or what you get to see, or what you hear. Any teams that, because you know you've seen this long enough, teams that are peaking at the right time, you can kind of pick out, you can see what they're doing, you can see them coming alive a little bit. Any sleepers across the state, or even or any up in our area that you think might jump out come tournament time because they're hitting the right stride when they need to?
Well, I think we can definitely point to Stevens Point if we're talking about your area. You know, you guys mentioned that, and, you know, I definitely think they're a team that's improving. And when you're a young team, when you get to the tournament, sometimes those things you don't always know about, it's a benefit because you're not thinking about some of those things maybe a veteran team's thinking about. But, you know, I think for the most part, I think in a lot of divisions, we're pretty cut and dry, in my opinion, on those top-level teams. But in Division One, I think that's where probably there could be some surprises, just because, you know, you have some very strong sectionals. I believe it's Homestead in Division One is a 5 seed. They've been ranked all year. They're the only team to beat Homestead to beat Arrowhead this year. So I think there's some of those sectionals are so deep, and again, maybe other sectionals aren't as strong. So it gives teams an opportunity to get to the state tournament that they haven't had a chance in the past. For instance, sectional one in Division Five, you know, McDonald Central's been blowing those teams out for a lot of those games. And now this year, you know, you have maybe a Clear Lake could get through there. You know, other Lakeland teams could get through there as well, possibly. And, you know, maybe South Shore way up north here. But, you know, that really just adds a little bit more excitement instead of having, you know, McDonald Central just kind of, people know when you play, not just you're winning games, but you're beating very good teams in upper divisions, it's going to be difficult in the postseason. But I think that kind of opened the door a little bit. And next year when some of those teams move up again because of the success factor, maybe that'll help things out a little bit to get some of those other teams kind of involved and having a chance to get to the state tournament.
And I got one more before Chad jumps in here, Norbert, just because we got your expertise on the air here. I know Chad's opinion for D1 and the state tournament and things like that. I'm curious what your take is. You know, everybody always says we want to get a couple more games for D1 is what I always hear. And obviously I coached in D5, so I love the element of D5 and things like that. So your take, is it right the way it is, or do we need, is there changes on the horizon, or are there things that can be tweaked? I guess I open for whatever you feel is your opinion.
Well, I think we missed an opportunity with adding two Division One teams this year. You know, I know that would have affected some things, but there was an opportunity to have that morning session open on Thursday. You add two Division One teams, and I know that the issue is the WI doesn't really care about, I know especially with the seeding stuff, they don't care about the best teams being at state. They care about regional representation. But, like, in a year where we might not – ever get to see Ali Zabella at the state tournament, like, this would have been a great opportunity to find a way to get Hortonville and Nina separate. And I know, you know, there's people that are going to argue against all those things, but, you know, anytime you have a high level player like that, it sure would be nice to see them at the state tournament, or at least a better opportunity. But, you know, when you're playing against a very strong Hortonville team in that sectional with you, you know, it's going to be tough. And I think that would have given us the opportunity maybe to see her at state. And, you know, some of those small changes amongst divisions maybe, you know, pushes the team up to Division One that wasn't before. And sometimes maybe they're blasting Division Two. You know, the same thing with Division Three. Usually it's more of those Division Two and Three schools that are affected more than people think. The Division Four and Five, they don't really get affected too much when you're adding divisions so much. You're just kind of separating out some of those larger schools, and it just gives better opportunity to get better product on the court. And, you know, if you add, not only add more games, but add high-level Division I games, I think, you know, it's something you got to look at. And I certainly hope they look at it again, because I think we're just missing out on that right now.
I agree 100% with what you just said. I think we got to see the best players and the best teams and make it a showcase where you get really excited to see that. Because, I mean, again, why are we seeing sellout crowds to see Iowa play women's basketball?
Right. I mean, Caitlin Clark is bringing kids in, everybody, and not just, you know, not just the young kids. Everybody's going to watch her. And, you know, if you haven't watched Allie Zabel play, like, she's a dynamite player. And a lot of people haven't. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we're not putting some of those high-level kids on the biggest stage.
I agree. I've seen Allie Zabel three different times, and it's always been well worth the time and the effort to be at those games.
And again, that was our conversation with Norbert Durst of WISSports.net talking about the start of the girls' basketball playoffs tonight. Again, a number of our area teams in action around Central Wisconsin. If you have a chance, get out there and see it. Nothing like some playoff high school sports. We're going to come back. We have one more segment to go. It'll be our daily history lesson. And, of course, it's going to try to break a losing streak here. Ian Walsh with his losing streak. We gotta get him back on the winning track here with our number for the day. Are you feeling it today?
I certainly hope so. I'm feeling good about this. Hope
so we'll have that coming up here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.
Tonight, the Central Wisconsin Storm hockey team looks to move one step closer towards the state tournament. The Storm will play host to Hayward in a sectional semifinal. Hear all the exciting action on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app, starting with pregame show at 6:50 and the opening faceoff at 7 p.m. Storm Hockey on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurant, Sun Printing, Graphic Packaging International, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Menke Automotive, Shine Chiropractic, and Picks and Pieces. It's the Central Wisconsin Storm versus Hayward in a girls hockey sectional semifinal. Tuesday, starting with pregame show at 6:50 on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
And welcome back to Chad Home Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Today, it is the 20th day of February of 2024. That means it is day number 51 of this year, and there are 315 days remaining in 2024. And some famous events have occurred on this date in history. Back in 1962, while aboard Friendship 7, John Glenn orbited the Earth three times in 4 hours 55 minutes, becoming the first American to orbit the Earth. Again, with John Glenn making history back in 1962 on February the 20th. On this date in 1997, the Trinity Broadcasting Network announced it had dropped singer Pat Boone's Gospel America show after he records a heavy metal album and appears on the American Music Awards in black leather and a studded dog collar. On this date in 2001, FBI agent Robert Hansen is arrested and charged with spying for Russia for 15 years. On this date in 2013, Estonia became the first country in the world to establish a national electric car charging network. On this date in 2016, a 4-inch lock of John Lennon's hair sold for $35,000 to a memorabilia collector at an auction in Dallas, Texas. And on this date in 2019, Tesla's CEO Elon Musk said he was certain that Tesla vehicles would be able to operate with any driver intervention by the end of the year, pending regulatory approval. Some famous people have celebrated their birthdays here on February the 20th. Senator Mitch McConnell, the Senate majority, the Senate minority leader in the state of Kentucky, Mitch McConnell turns 82 years old today. Actor, dancer Sandy Duncan, 78 years old today. Actor Peter Strauss turning 77. Charles Barkley, former NBA superstar with the 76ers, the Suns, and the Rockets, has become a mainstay on TNT and their Inside the NBA pre- and post-game shows. Charles Barkley, first known as a college player at Auburn as the Round Mound of Rebound, Barkley is 61 years old today. Actor French Stewart, third Rock of the Sun, is 60 years old today. Supermodel Cindy Crawford. Cindy Crawford, 58 years old today. Actor Andrew Shue of Melrose Place fame is 57. Also, Chelsea Peretti of Brooklyn Nine-Nine is 46. Former Daily Show host Trevor Noah, turning 40 years old today. Actor Miles Teller of Top Gun Maverick is 37. And singer Rihanna, turning 36 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Clean Out Your Bookcase Day. It is Love Your Pet Day. Do you have any pets?
I do have a pet. I have a cat named Jafanta.
Very good.
I love her very much.
It is Cherry Pie Day. Cherry Pie Day. I'm more of an apple pie. Today is Cherry Pie. It is Comfy Day. It is Leadership Day. It is Muffin Day.
Oh, nice.
It is also Student Volunteer Day. It is Handcuff Day. Not sure why it's Handcuff Day, but it is Handcuff Day. It is World Day of Social Justice as well. So those are some of the special events being acknowledged here today on February the 20th. All right.
Okay.
It is that time.
Yes, it is.
It is time to see if Ian can snap his losing streak. He was 0 for 5 last week. He got off to a losing start yesterday.
Yeah.
So it is time to get back on the winning track.
Okay.
Our number for the day. All right. This is a little bit of an odd one. The number of the day is the number of dolls in the world's largest collection of Barbie dolls. A woman named Bettina Dorfman holds the Guinness World Record for the world's largest collection of Barbie dolls.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you a multiple choice. First number is 8,500. The second number is 18,500. The third number is 28,500. Okay. So the three numbers are 8,500, 18,500, 28,500.
Okay. Largest collection of Barbie dolls. 8,000, 18,000, 28,000. Well, I'd have to say, I'm going to go with A. I'm going to go with 8,000.
The correct answer is 18,500.
Doggone it. I did it again.
This is getting ridiculous here. Seriously? You should accidentally get it right at some point here. And we are now 7 in a row here. So tomorrow we're going to try and snap this losing streak.
But
18,500 dolls in the world's largest collection of Barbie dolls. That's going to wrap things up here today. Ian, you can lick your wounds. Come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we'll try to get back on the winning track. But have yourself a great day.
You too, Chad. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Don't forget, tonight I'll be over at Marathon Park for the Central Wisconsin Storm, taking on the Hayward Hurricanes in a girls hockey sectional semifinal at 6:50, live here on Whole Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, and on the Sports 2 stream of WholeFallsRadio.com and the Civic Media app. Tom Weaver will have Marathon Girls playoff basketball against Lady. Coming up, Matt and Air on Air. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Keep it right here on Whole Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.